not only can the enemy be anywhere, but he is everywhere, and he only has authority where we allow it. So that's why we put on the full armor of God. That's why we strap it on. I think I was reading a book this week. I'm not sure whose it was, but I think it was Derek Prince, and he was talking about that early on in his walk, every morning he would specifically put on his armor of God. He would put it on. He would see himself dressing up in it, and he was, at that point in time, I think he said he was afraid to leave the house without putting it on. And so he very specifically and very intentionally put it on, saw himself putting it on until he came to the place where it was on, realized it shouldn't be off, you know. See, God's given us pure and precious promises, and we can walk in those promises and enjoy those promises, or we can have those promises blocked out of our view. We're going to continue with looking more at Ephesians chapter 2, because it is so important that we understand that it was in the past that we were spiritually dead. You know, the Apostle Paul in one place says, he said, you know, I wouldn't have known that it was wrong to covet if I had not seen that I should not covet. And when God opened his eyes, the eyes of his understanding to that, then he realized that he was coveting. That's what the law is, a taskmaster. It lets us see things. Well, Paul here is speaking of things as though they are this way. He is saying in the past. It's in the past. That was in the past. And when we realize that, when we see that was in the past, the first thing that we realize that, yes, I was that way in the past. You see, if we don't realize that we were that way in the past, then we can't have a present or a future with God, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. See, Paul is kindly telling them that they have the victory if they understand that they were defeated. If we don't understand we're defeated, then we don't need a victory. Yesterday, some folks were at our house, and they have some misconceptions about us. And it's only because they feel guilty. And so because they feel guilty, then they assume that we think what we don't think. It reminds me of when Vicky's mother wrote and said, "You can't tell us we're going to hell." We never told her she was going to hell. We would never suggest, "Oh, you're going to hell." That just hasn't been the way we think or say anything. But the fact was is that the very fact that we were so sure that we were going to heaven caused them to think we thought they were going to hell. I'm not going to mess with that. I'll leave that to Jesus. And so Paul was saying, okay, Ephesians chapter 2, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. Guilty. I didn't know I was spiritually dead until I found out I was spiritually dead. But when I found out that I was spiritually dead, yep, that's what I was. I was guilty. So when I acknowledge my guilt, I have my forgiveness. Because realizing, yes, I was that way, says to Jesus, "You're right." All we got to do is tell Jesus he's right. Because just acknowledging that and saying, yes, in the past, your lives were full of sins. In the past, my life was full of sin. Absolutely. Even my righteousness was as filthy rags. You see, until you understand that your good things you did were as filthy rags, then that doesn't mean anything to you when the Bible says your filthiness, your righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, it's no good to me because you don't realize it's no good to me. But when you realize it's no good to me, it's good for you. The gospel's good for us. The truth is good for us. It's always good for us. And you see, Paul was encouraging them that it was in the past, at the same time as revealing to them this was what was going on. When we know what's going on, it's like Vicky said, you know, it's good to know where the enemy is. I discovered the enemy, it was me. When we discover that the enemy was us. Because why? Well, because we live the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers over the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. So if people refuse to obey God, then that spirit is working in them. But they don't want to think that it's that spirit working in them. So they want to think that everything's okay just the way that it is. But you're going to bug them. You are going to be a problem to them. Not because of anything you say, but because of what you know. Because you have this confidence in you. When you have this confidence in you that when you pray, God hears you, then what you see that seems to be in the way is not really in the way, because you see beyond what's in the way. You see what's coming to you. Instead of focusing on what's in the way, we focus on what's on the way to us. We learn that just from reading Daniel, because Daniel prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Now, apparently, he thought his prayer was going to work, because he kept praying, and he kept praying a long time. He kept praying longer than we ever pray. I mean, he just kept praying. We might spend a lifetime to pray as long as he prayed about that one thing, to pray for something. You know, somebody says, man, I prayed for so-and-so for 30 years. You know, constantly or off and on. But anyway, Daniel prayed. And when Daniel prayed, eventually, the angel showed up and said, I heard you right away, but whoa, there was a battle. And so because we know this, and because Paul tells us that that's in the past, Jesus has made things now and present. So this is the confidence we have, that when we pray, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know what we've asked of him. So that we look at it thankfully. Right? He said, this is the way it was, but remember, it's the past. We gotta not let the past be ahead. We've got to be ahead. The past is past. And the way we know that the past is past is that we recognize the enemy and where the enemy is. The enemy was us, but it's no longer us. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, so it's in the past. And so Paul is telling them it's in the past and warning them, don't let it get in the future. And if it shows its ugly head, put it where it belongs. Remind it that it's in the past. Because remember, as we said in the song, when I'm not perfect, you are. And in response, he says, when you're not perfect, I am. And that's not to give us a license, that's to give us comfort. We are being perfected, so that means we aren't perfect. That doesn't mean that we have to be easy on ourselves if we're not perfect, but it simply means that we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves when we're not perfect. Because if we're too hard on ourselves, we will give up. Rachel's been in college the whole time that she's been working, and she sits there and she does this, and she looks at her grades and she does everything, And can I share your story about that, about your test that you didn't know you could, weren't supposed to check on? They have these things in online stuff. Thanks, I know you'd say, okay. But they have these things on these tests where you can put in an answer and then check your answer. And she didn't realize that every time you checked your answer, it deducted points. And she was just getting used to the teacher and getting ready to instruct the teacher on how he should really run his classes. This is Rachel's calling at that college, is to help the teachers perfect their online courses. It's working too. It really is. They say, oh, that's good. So anyway, but so she did that. So here she was, after doing that, she bombed a test. Acquitted. Sorry, yes, qualify that, you know. So her grade was really pretty low, and she's not used to pretty low grades, you know. But she didn't drop the class. She said, oh, okay, now I know how the rules work, now I'll do it. End of that week, she took a test, and the grade that was, I don't know, way low, now she's 99.4% or something, because she, you know, she got that right. But you see, that's the thing, is she didn't just throw in the towel, and that's what the enemy wants us to do, is throw in the towel when it looks bad. We can't be deceived by the way things appear. We have to follow what we know. And so there's a lot of things that try to stand between us and the promises of God. But if we hold on to those promises of God, we'll be like Isaiah, who said, I may be down, but I'll rise again. Prophet of God, I may be down, but I'll rise again. I'll rise again. Elijah defeats the prophets of Baal and then goes hides and whines because the queen says she's going to kill him. We read that and we think, wait, man, he should have been on such a high, such a power trip. He'd know she couldn't. He'd be going after her, but no. He said, I give up. I just want to die. This is too much. And God says, go sit by the brook for a while. The birds show up and feed him. He drinks from the brook, gets his strength back. And God says, now, pray for rain and tell the king it's coming. Yeah, now he's refreshed, you know. Well, sometimes if we have to, let's go by the brook and get refreshed. The old fire drill thing says stop, drop, and roll, you know. Well, we need to just stop, drop, and pray. We've got the time to just be reminded that the Lord is more concerned about our success than we are. Not because he does not think we concede, but because he knows we have an enemy who is resisting us. And that's why he says, submit yourself totally unto God and resist that devil, and he'll flee from you. This morning, not this morning, but this week, the puppy and I are praying, and the puppy's in the crook of my arm. She got in that place in the crook of my arm, and so I'm, you know, that's good, that's fine. She's over there where it's easy for me to go ahead and look at my little touchpad, my Zen, whatever that thing is. Anyway, and so I'm reading the Bible and stuff, but my fingers are, arms going to sleep, you know, and so I'm trying to get my hand awake without disturbing the puppy. I don't want to mess with the comfort of the puppy. And God just very clearly said, how could I not be more concerned about you than you are about the puppy? Oh. And then I just began to think about the truth. He's not just concerned about a little bit. He's not just concerned about meeting me in heaven. He's concerned about me experiencing his presence here. He's concerned about my finances. He's concerned about my provision. He's concerned about my correct protection. He's concerned about my direction. He's concerned about every part of my life. How could I not care? Well, as we've read the Bible, we know that he said once to Israel, what more could have I done to prove how much I care? And then he reminded me of Israel and how I was figuring percentages. I don't know why, you know. But first and foremost, there were 12 spies sent and only two, 16.6%, saw what God had for them. And believed it enough to tell the others, it's a good place. But I didn't figure the percentage of actual people who believed them, because in the end, only two that were of age ever entered the promised land of two of millions actually got to enter. That's a little tiny percentage. And the reason that they got to enter was because they believed. And Hebrews tells us, why didn't people enter? Because of unbelief. So if God wants me to believe and I have these precious promises, I should just believe. But you see, if we're not convinced that he's concerned about our present and our future, and we think that this is just, you know, that the world, some people, honestly, Christians believe that the world is just a battleground where we prove whether we can get to heaven or not. And of those that believe that it's a battleground where we prove that we can get to heaven or not, the percentage is about the same size as the percentage that actually went into the promised land, because you can't stand it for very long if you're struggling to get in all the time. Can you? Yeah. How long will you stand at a door and knock, waiting for somebody to answer it before you will leave? You know? I've stood at doors where I could hear people inside and knocked and nobody got to the door. Now, in Highmore, I would just walk and say, anybody home, you know? But you probably wouldn't want to do that in Chicago or New York or someplace like that. But the fact of the matter is if it's going to be difficult, you're not going to keep at it. And that's why people become deceived and decide to believe a lie and decide to just quit trying. Even many Christians just don't believe it's going to get any better. And because they don't believe it's going to get any better, all they can think about is how bad it is. And then there's others that are kind of in a utopic thing of, well, things aren't so bad, so I must not be in doing so bad. But compared to what it can be, things aren't great, because with God, it's greater. Listen, we just saw a report this week. We saw the report and the extending circumstances of those Coptic Christians that were beheaded on a video in front of the world. And the mother and the brother are so thankful to ISIS. So thankful to ISIS that they showed that and they didn't cut anything out. Because they didn't cut off those people saying, thank you, Jesus. They didn't cut off those people thanking the people that were cutting off their heads, thanking them and saying, thank you for helping us into heaven. And the mother, they asked the mother, what would your mother say? My mother, if one of those guys came to her house, she would thank them for helping her son get into heaven and pray for them that they would quit being deceived and pray for them that they would see the truth. But they were thankful. The guys getting their heads cut off and the families of those who got their heads cut off were thankful that they let the world see that Jesus was more than a conqueror. What do you think? Prepared for that? I would hope I am. I would hope. Honestly, I'll tell you what. I think that at the time that came, I think they just got empowered. I think that God became stronger and more present than anything. I don't know what they felt, but they had to be feeling something to be going, thank you, thank you. Now, I didn't watch the video, but I've read so much about it, I'm thinking I would like to hear that part. So maybe listen to the audio with my eyes closed. I don't know. But you see, the only way you can do that is if you know in the past it was one way, but in the present it's another way. Because now we're in a whole different place. We did all the things our bodies and minds wanted, like everyone else in the world. We deserved to suffer God's anger just because of the way we were. Does that mean that we should never do anything that we want to do again? No. It just means that we need to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. It just means that those things that we recognize, because once we recognize Jesus, we recognize the things that were wrong. And the best thing that we can do when we recognize something is wrong is say, oh, that was wrong. And when we say that was wrong, the Lord says, yeah, now it's in the past. Now it's in the past. But God is rich in mercy and he loved us very much. And we were spiritually dead because of all we had done against him. But he gave us new life together with Christ. You've been saved by God's grace. He gave us new life together with Christ. That's not just us together. That's us together with Christ. It's not a life that we now live alone, hoping to get the, you know, second chapter. It's we now live this life together with Christ. With Christ. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. We have everything together with Christ. We live with Christ. So we'll be okay. Yes, it's because we are part of Christ. We are part of Christ Jesus. We are part of Christ Jesus. We're part of him. He's part of us. We're part of him. I'm part of Christ. Christ is part of me. We take part in each other's lives. And because of that, God raises us from death and he seats us together with him in heavenly places. These people weren't dead that he was writing to. These people were alive that he was writing to. And he said that other stuff was in the past. Here's where we are now. Picture this. Picture where you really are. And if you slip off your chair, jump back up. Have I told you I love my puppy? It's Vicky's puppy. I love the puppy. You know that puppy, if he slips off the chair, guess what he does? He comes and jumps back up. Today I was doing the devotion and I heard this whining and I thought that she was whining up at the top of the steps, you know. I'm down at the computer and then finally I look and she's just sitting there like, what am I doing here when your lap is there? If I could teach her to type, I'd just dictate. You know? But, yeah, I'll try not to make too many puppies. Look at it. You've got something to look forward to. Motorcycle season is coming. But until then, the Lord's going to teach me with the puppy, okay? But the thing is that when we know that, he seated us. We're seated there. God did this so that his kindness to us who belong to Christ Jesus would clearly show for all time to come the amazing riches of his grace. Remember last week we said he did this so that the kindness he has shown up would reveal his goodness. So if that's the case, why would he not be exposing us to his goodness? Because if we're not exposed to us, we can't reveal it. Listen. People believe what's real. People don't get excited about you just saying, oh, Jesus is wonderful. Because, yeah, Jesus is supposed to be wonderful, so what? Let's get away from these people. They're them kind, you know? But when his wonderfulness is revealed by what God is doing in our life and they're exposed to it, and when God gets glory, they have to at least consider that must be a true story, because that's not just talking about something that Jesus did a long time ago. That's something Jesus is doing right now. You mean Jesus is doing stuff right now? We know that, don't we? Don't you know Jesus is doing stuff right now? Are we open to the experience of his presence? Do we recognize his presence when we sense his presence and say, thank you, Lord, I love your presence. That's what Wayne came up and said, oh, Lord, thank you for your presence. Because just knowing he's present, then we know he's present. And if we know he's present, then we know that whatever is trying to obscure our view from what might be will be removed. I think, Vicki, you were sharing with me something you read about a guy that was praying for somebody and this guy's foot was all... Oh, yeah, Philip. Wow, prison story. See? Puppy can't go to prison. The prison story. Philip had a guy in the prison, and his toes were just turned clear up, and he couldn't walk. And Philip just said, "Well, let me pray for you." He said, "Well, I don't believe that stuff." And Philip said, "That's okay. I'll believe." And he prayed for the guy, and he said, "Then by faith, he grabbed a hold of the guy's toes and just pulled them down." He said, "Man, they cracked and they popped." And the guy said, "Whoa." Yeah, he just felt the presence of God. The guy said, "Man, I felt God," and he was healed. Might change how he feels about healing. And this is the thing, that when we know, when we experience, when we have the confidence, then we just do what Jesus would have us to do. Because we're with him, and he's part of us. And that is what we are called to do, is live the life that is in Christ Jesus. Just to live life. And as our life goes along, we're confident that in the past, this is how we were, but in the future, this is what Jesus wants. And so we then, too, can encourage others, put it behind you. Don't let your past get past you. Don't let your past run out in front of you and control you. Put your past behind you. Because in the past, that's the way that it was, but it's not the past anymore. I mean that you've been saved by grace because you believed. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift. And so if that's a gift, then everything else is a gift as well, isn't it? If you can't save yourself, you can't supply yourself. If you can't save yourself, you can't perfect yourself. You can only say yes and amen. But when it's our heart's desire to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we just look for opportunities to say yes, amen. So that then we may find ourselves, like I said, that Derek Prince was putting on his armor every day until the point that he discovered it was on. We might find ourselves recognizing and saying, that's in the past. Until the past is no longer our focus and we're not looking at the past. But we're looking at the future. Because we are not as those who have no hope. You're not saved by the things you have done, so there's nothing to boast about. If you aren't saved by the things you've done, you won't be kept by what you do. You'll be kept by who you're with. And with Christ, we can do all things. When we understand that, then we want to remain with Christ. But if we're deceived into thinking we'll be with Christ someday when we die, what is going to get us through now? If we just think we're going to see him when we die, we ain't going to be able to handle the cutting off of the head. Because we don't really believe that he is who he says he is or can do what he says he can do. God made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing the good things he's already planned for us to do. Doing the good things he's planned. He'll let us know his plans, right? In the meantime, we're to live. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And that you might have it abundantly. I just came so you could have life. And so then Paul said, I've died with Christ, yet I live, but it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's the way to live. Let him dwell in you richly. And then just let him ooze out. Let him. You don't have to pump him out. You don't have to push him out. You don't have to do anything. You just have to enjoy him. You know, people that are enjoying something are more enjoyable. You know? Can't be miserable when we're enjoying Jesus. We may have miserable moments, but we won't let the miserable moments override the joy that is in Christ Jesus. Because we won't be distracted and stopped by what's in the way. We'll be rejoicing about what's on the way. So that if sickness attacks, we rejoice that healing's on the way. If we have a lack, we rejoice the provision is on the way. If we're confused, we rejoice the answer's on the way. And so then we can just enjoy. And I don't know about you, I like to enjoy life. I don't like to not enjoy life. I don't really enjoy life when it's not enjoyable. I just don't. Anybody here like it when it's not enjoyable? No, we like because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. So each day we can ask ourselves, who's ahead? Like the thing we watched on Wednesday night with the toilet paper roll. I think Vicki and I had something going on the next day, and Vicki said, don't let it turn into a toilet paper roll. And I immediately reminded her that maybe she had a toilet paper roll too. How many of you who watched that Wednesday night when you went to the bathroom thought about the toilet paper roll? By the way, there was an empty one at my house. She never changes the toilet. That's not true. She does, but I did that one. But I didn't keep it in the closet. I did throw it away. And I didn't march out and show it to her. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. But let's keep Jesus ahead. And let's keep ourselves in Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're thankful to you that you are present. Not just here with us, but oh, how we enjoy your presence. We enjoy when you turn up your presence as we worship and praise you. We thank you, Lord. And we just enjoy your fellowship as we enjoy each other's fellowship. And Lord, we will just pray and say, give us a greater awareness. If you warn us about offense, then we pray, Lord, that you will give us a greater awareness so that it won't get ahead of us. But it'll be put in its place. In Jesus' name, we do that, Lord, and we look up to you, and we thank you for the food that we are about to partake of, and we are grateful that we have it and that we have each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.